You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients while having a great work-life balance. In addition to our premium courses on the Effective Statistician Academy, we also have lots of free resources for you across all kind of different topics within that academy. Head over to theeffectivestatistician.com and find the academy and much more for you to become an effective statistician. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the ever-growing video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Head over to the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician, and today I'm super happy to have Daniel on the line again. For all those who don't know Daniel, maybe you can start with a short introduction of yourself and what you're doing now.
Yeah, thanks, Alexander. Happy to be back on your podcast. Hi, everyone. So yeah, I'm a statistician, so I studied statistics in Munich, and then I got my PhD from the University of Zurich in more than 10 years ago in 2013. And then I worked as a biostatistician in Roche for 5 years. Then I had a little stint as a data scientist at Google for 2 years. And then after that, I rejoined Roche, building up what we call the statistical engineering team. So there is a very cool team working on R packages, the topic of today. For 4 years, I did that. And last year in the summer, I relocated to Taipei with my family because my wife is from Taiwan and we want to spend here some time. And therefore, it was a good time point to do something else again. So we kind of founded a consulting company that we call Arconis. Arconis is like R-C-O-N-I-S. Working now with that on different projects. It's very interesting. And apart from that, maybe also to mention, I wrote a few R packages. There's also a book, which is called Likelihood and Bayesian Inference, if you are interested more in the theoretical stuff. And also very relevant for today's topic, I'm also co-chairing the Open Stats Working Group on Software Engineering and Biostatistics.
Okay, let's dive into the topic of today. The first question really is, why should we actually create R packages? So this is really about reusing code. What are common challenges when we reuse code?
Yes. What are the common challenges? The most common challenge is that there's just no documentation at all, and you just don't know anymore what the code should be doing and how to use it. That can also happen very easily with your own code. Doesn't even have to be somebody else's code. Just write it and maybe wait 2 weeks and look at it again, and probably you have no idea anymore what it's doing if you don't have any documentation for that. That's a very common challenge. A bit more advanced challenge is that you don't use a consistent style in your code, and maybe also not a good style. For example, if you just use the equal sign for assignments in your R code, and maybe you don't even put blanks around this equal sign, you know, and then you write your code like that, or you don't indent at all, you know, when you have if clause or a for loop or anything like that, or a function. If all the lines start in the beginning of the line, no matter where they sit in the hierarchy of the code. Yeah, things like that make the code very hard to read. So yeah, you might have found yourself inheriting some code from a colleague that's very hard to read. So probably the first thing you need to do, you need to restyle the code to actually be able to read it. Then of course come more things like variable names, right? So maybe the variable names are totally random or non, you know, explaining anything. So if you just have like A, B, C, D variable names or X, Y, Z, and then, you know, I have no idea what they actually mean. becomes very hard. So those are the kind of basic challenges when you want to reuse code.
So I learned quite early in my career that as soon as you do copy and paste code more than once, then it's much more better to create some kind of function or a macro so that you don't need to change things again, because ultimately code will always be changed. And if you have copied and pasted it multiple times, then you will likely forget it where you have copied it, and then it breaks down. So that's definitely another reason to create things that are easy to use multiple times in your code when you need to use it again and again and again. And that's, I think, for me, one of the main reasons to write something that is easy, usable. Writing some kind of small function for yourself or macro used within your code, and writing an R package or completely new package, I would say there's yet another bigger step. How big is that step, and when should we consider to write an R package?
Yeah, great segue. I think I would say as soon as you start writing functions for a project that lasts more than one day or maybe more than a week, then probably it's already time to write a package, because although that sounds maybe a bit like, you know, too big of a hammer for a nail or something, but that just makes so many things so much easier down the line. And last but not least, what I mentioned in the beginning, documentation and readability become much easier when you have these functions in a package. Nowadays, the step is actually quite small, because nowadays there are so many tools that make your life easier to create a package that it's actually, you know, not a big step anymore, right? So for example, what kind of tools, right? There's, for example, the very beautiful use this package. So like use this, the two words just together. And it, you can just create a package with that very easily, package structure, right? Which is just a collection of files and folders that follow the convention of R packages. Makes it very easy. Or just in RStudio, you know, most people still use RStudio as the IDE of choice. And there is a menu button that you can say, I want to start a new package. So it's super easy, right? It's not like 20 years ago. And one additional thing that will be very helpful for you in this package is that you can also write tests very easily for your functions. You need to make sure that the code still works in the future. And that might be a future where the versions of packages that you rely on have changed. Maybe therefore something doesn't work anymore. You need to see that in the tests, that because the tests are failing. Or you need to be able to know if you modify one of your functions in your package, this function still works as expected. And all the other functions also still work as expected, right? And you cannot every time, you know, try manually all of the functions in your package and see if they're still working. That's just too much work. So the way to automate this is just writing tests. And that's the other thing, that it's much, much easier if you have a package structure.
What would be the steps you recommend when creating a new package?
Yes. First important step is usually to don't directly jump into coding. Don't immediately jump into programming everything, even though it's so much fun. And of course, I also love doing it. Don't just start right away. Just take a deep breath, make a plan. I suggest for making a plan, nothing fancy. Just take a piece of paper, take a pencil, and draw what the package should be looking like. What should it be doing? What should be the different parts of the package? And that's a first start.
So schematic. So have a sketch of how your package would look like. Will it go into the package? What will happen within the package? Will it be delivered back? What are your expectations?
Yeah. And then think about what kind of functions there are in the package. Maybe give them boxes around each function, give them some kind of name that says what it's doing. And then you have little arrows, for example, between the functions, and you say which functions calls the other function, or which function gives something to the other function, like a pipeline of steps or something. Yeah, just try to visualize it, you know, like a little machine that you want to build, like a Lego machine or something. How should it be working together? And that would be the very first step. And then once you have that, I would also not immediately start with the package writing, but I would have an intermediate step always start with the prototype, right? And for this prototype, you can basically reuse all of the functions that you might already have from before, right? I often call this design doc because that's from my Google time. People always talked about design doc in Google. So design doc is basically can just be like a marked document or quarter document nowadays, where you explain your thoughts, where you basically translate your pencil and paper drawing into like a little prose text. And then in between, or maybe at the end of this document, you have the function and prototypes. Basically, you have the function code that you think might work, and you make sure that the stuff actually works, at least in this very first version, right? When you basically run the document and you run the code, you have examples at the end, and everything seems to work out well. So there will be an intermediate step. And again, that can be very much, of course, recycling what you already have in terms of functions, if you have them already, or some of them. And then you're ready to really start with the package coding. That's kind of the start then, yes.
Once you have all your codes together, you mentioned creating tests for that. Where does that fit in?
Let's say basic knowledge about this is that you basically have a tests folder in your package structure. In a tests folder, you typically, because you use that as the infrastructure for the tests, then you mirror the structure of your R folder. The R folder has, for example, one or multiple functions in each file, and then you have the equivalent test file in this tested folder. And then basically you have the structure that for each function you have maybe one or multiple tests basically that basically run the function, right, on a given set of inputs that are predefined in the test, right, that you basically hard code in the test. And then you compare the result of this function call with your expectation. That's kind of the structure. So let's make an example. Let's say you have a function that adds up two numbers. Then your first test might be, please add one and one together, and I'm expecting that this will equal two. That's the idea of the tests, right? The cool thing is that you can run all these tests automatically very quickly and see very quickly if the stuff still works as you expect.
Or you get a warning if something goes wrong.
This red flag that something doesn't work anymore, and that's very important. Then you can check why is it not working anymore and you can fix it, right?
Speaking about fixing, this is all open source. So you at one point want to put it on some kind of open source file system so that people can use it. How does the open source communities get to know about this new function so that more people than just you can use it?
Yeah, great point. The best way typically nowadays is to use github.com. for uploading those packages. There's also a few other alternative venues like GitLab or Bitbucket and so on. So I don't want to make advertisement for GitHub too much, but it is a very good service and it's free as long as you use it for public repositories. So basically open source repositories. And that can be the first step to really put your package there because other people can see it. Other people can make comments. People can file issues. So basically, if they have a question or if they maybe used your package and discovered a problem or a challenge or something, they can get in touch with you via this website, which is easier than sending you an email and other people can also see it. So that's a good advantage. And then how to make this known to the community? Of course, nowadays, LinkedIn is a very good place to make a post about your package. There's maybe also other venues like Mastodon or X or Blue Sky. So basically, the social networks can be used for this, social media networks. And of course, you might also consider more traditional pathways to make your package well known, like writing a paper about your package. If it's a bigger package, more important project, for you, that can also be a very good way. And there's, for example, the R journal in the R community. There's the Journal of Statistical Software, a bit more general than just R. And there's a few other journals like that as well. And that can also be very impactful.
Yeah. Or you presented at one of the typical conferences, or nowadays, even SaaS-based conferences have opened up to open source views and things like that are also now welcoming our presentations, posters. So that's another kind of thing. There's a thing with the, can you create something yourself for an R package that you have?
Yes, that's a lot of fun. That's a very R community kind of specialty thing that people started at least 5 to 10 years ago already, started to create this kind of hexagons that are kind of logos for the R packages. Nowadays, there's even R packages to create these hex stickers. For example, one is called Hex Sticker, but you can also use any kind of graphics program or Inkscape for SVGs to create those. And then you can use that in your package website or presentations. It's very nice. It's a lot of fun. And people actually print those stickers on sticky paper and then you can hand it out in conferences and so on as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a very nice, fun community thing that you can do. Now, last question. How can Arconis, your company, help in creating such packages? Because I think this is a pretty useful thing for companies to invest in. And it's also very nice to outsource work, delegate work, because typical packages that you would use again and again, well, delegates are a super nice and easy thing.
Yeah, maybe before coming to Arconis, I want to mention one other important resource for package building the right way. Of course, the right way is a subjective as well, but there's the so-called Open Stats Guide that we published a few months ago. You find it on openstatsware.org/guide.html. So that's an opinionated kind of checklist that you can use to go through your package. It talks about what kind of important documentation steps are there, what should you do for the tests, what should you do for what we talked about, GitHub or those kind of things. So I think it's a very good resource and it's short. You know, it's not like a book that, for example, our OpenSci, also a very good place, our OpenSci.org has a very good book on this topic, but it's very long. So it might be a little bit daunting to read through all of that, but OpenStatsGuide is very short. So I would definitely recommend it as a first stop if you want to check. Now coming to your question, of course, there's also not just Arconis, right? But we particularly specialize at this intersection of deep statistical methodology expertise and software engineering, right? So when your project is in that space, of course, we would be very interested to help or to know about it. And we were working, of course, with R packages literally every day, except maybe weekend. We can support you in all stages of this development lifecycle. And I think it's, as you say, I think it's important also to, it's not maybe also only outsourcing. There can also be different modes of interaction or help that we can offer. But I think it's important to realize when you need support from experts and then reach out, right? So just a couple of examples that we have come across. For example, you have a collection of functions and you have no time or interest to put them together in a package, but you know it would be the right thing to do. Right, then I think it would be good to reach out to a vendor like Arconis, or you have an old package already that your department relies on, but now maybe the author has left and now it's stopped working and you have no idea what to do next, but it's very important. So that those things like refurbishing older packages, that's also an important use case, or assessing external packages or improving external packages. That can also be important when you are not sure whether you can trust the results of an external package.
Yeah, these are very interesting use cases so that you can have something that really fits your needs from a validation point of view and all these different things so that you can trust it and move forward with it. Thank you very much, Daniel, for this awesome episode and discussion about R packages. As said before, check theeffectivestatistician.com to find the episode with Daniel, and there you will find all the links that we just talked about. Any final spot, Daniel, to someone who wants to create an R package?
Yeah, final tip. There is very good materials available. If you search for good software engineering practice for packages workshop, you will find very easily lots of interesting slides from the OpenStats community side. And this year we will have sessions, live sessions in Basel at the ICB conference, end of August, in Paris at the Statistics and Biopharmacy conference in October, as well as for those in Asia in Tokyo, beginning of April. So either have a look at the slides offline or maybe one of those sessions and time points sounds right for you, then would be great to see you there.
Well, thanks so much. This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain and her team at VVS who helped with the show in the background, and thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.